Something's got to change. Something's got to change. Ever said that? Say it this week? Maybe already this morning? Maybe it's because you were distressed over a report of some international conflict, or maybe you just saw one too many political posts on Facebook. Maybe you tuned in the local newscast and learned about some violent crime that's just too heinous to imagine, or maybe it just happened in your neighborhood or a little too close to home, or maybe even more than that, it was something personal. It was the pressure of your schedule, or another unplanned for and apparently unmeetable expense, or a relationship that just isn't what it ought to be, and you know something's got to change. You're right. You are right, and I am convinced that this is true for every one of us. Things, this is a good amen opportunity for you, if you feel it at all, things do need to change. I want to help you with that today. We are working our way through a series I've called Living on Target, talking about how we live in a distracted and distracting world that wars against us, that forces us to fight, really, to keep our lives pointed in the right direction, fight to keep our lives headed toward fulfilling that purpose for which we were lovingly formed by an intentional God. And here's a problem that I kind of run into. Every week this series continues, it takes longer and longer to get to the actual message for the morning because, hey, I got to review what we said the weeks before, right? I'm aware... Especially during summertime, as we move towards summer, I am aware that not everyone attends every Sunday. And I think that for this series of thoughts in particular, each message builds on the previous one. They all matter. And so I simply don't want anyone to know, you know, to not know how we got to this point, or to have anyone dive into step four, which is where we are this morning, without having tackled steps one, two, and three. So if you've been here every Sunday and you know all this stuff, just humor me for a little bit. But so far, we've said that because our world makes it so easy to get distracted, because our world makes it so easy to forget what we were really aiming for, or really more accurately, because the powers of darkness against which we wrestle in this world, you know this verse, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, because there are spiritual forces that actually stand opposed to us in our efforts to fulfill the purpose for which we were formed and redeemed. In order to live on target, we've got to first refocus on Jesus, to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, perfecter of our faith, who blazed the trail for this thing, who set the course, who showed us the way, who was and who is, who remains our example. Second, we've got to refuel with the Holy Spirit. And again, the Holy Spirit is more than just some sort of battery pack or consumable fuel supply, but part of who He is, part of what He does, is to equip and empower us to serve. And Jesus was very clear, both by His teaching and by His life, His example, Jesus was very clear that we will not fulfill God's purpose for our lives, indeed our given purpose, apart from the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So just like those first disciples, we've got to heed Jesus' command to not go anywhere, to not do anything apart from the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, apart from having been empowered by the Holy Spirit to do so. Do not leave Jerusalem. Don't you go anywhere, Jesus said, but wait for the gift my Father promised before you go trying to do anything in my name. Third, we've got to reevaluate regularly. We've got to step away from the craziness of the present often enough to consistently touch the eternal. We've got to tie our lives again into that which matters forever. We've got to evaluate and adjust and make those mid-course corrections in light of Christ and in light of His Spirit, having fixed our eyes on Jesus and having experienced the empowering infilling of His Spirit. We've got to make those mid-course corrections that keep us pointed in the right direction, keep us living on target. I don't know how closely you monitor day to day or week to week, you know, your money, your spending, your budget, maybe not as closely as I do. I'm pretty obsessive about that. But surely you know what it is like, to have that month where some unexpected expense comes along. Can I say, get an amen there, right? Now I say Dave Ramsey says there aren't unexpected expenses, just unplanned for expenses, right? You shouldn't be surprised. You know your truck's going to need tires. Come on. I don't know how closely you watch your budget, but surely you know what it's like to have a month with heavier than usual expenses and how to be watching what you've spent in every other area of your budget for the rest of the month. Can I get an amen on that? Honey, you want to go out and get something to eat tonight? Maybe just even Gambino's or something? No, I've been hankering for a bologna sandwich all day, baby. You know? That's mid-course correction. That keeps you on target. And the psalmist said, I have considered my ways. I've reevaluated and adjusted. I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes, he says to the Lord. Those kinds of wise maneuvers come when we regularly reevaluate and stay on top of it, sort of watch our gauges, monitor conditions, and adjust in keeping with God's word, God's wisdom, God's plan for us. Well, today, I want to suggest a fourth step in this process. I am convinced that in order to live on target, we've got to retool strategically. We've got to retool strategically. This retooling analogy, of course, is taken from industry. Manufacturing plants, assembly lines have to make changes in procedures, in equipment, in processes in order to improve the way products are manufactured, or sometimes in order to begin to manufacture a completely different product. When plants do that, it's often called retooling. It's a situation where something has to change, where somebody's come up with a better way to do things. Maybe it's cheaper, maybe it's faster, maybe it simply produces a better product in the end, or maybe what's being produced is not what you want to produce anymore. The market for buggy whips has kind of dried up, and it's time to gear up to build batteries for hybrids, right? And so those kinds of changes often require new equipment and new procedures and new worker training, and all of that is a part of this process of retooling. Well, I am suggesting that the same thing needs to happen in us if we're going to continue to successfully live on target. Every one of us has heard this definition of insanity. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Well, when we fixed our eyes on Jesus and let him fill us with his spirit to overflowing and taking a fresh look at our lives and our world, when we've reevaluated in light of Christ and his spirit, the reality is that if we've done that honestly, we are going to conclude that there are things that have to change. Some things in my life have to be different in light of who Christ is and what he has done for me with his gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we've got to, you know, we can make those conclusions, but concluding itself is not going to change anything. Drawing a conclusion doesn't change the reality of my world. I've got to retool for the changes I want. I've got to shut things down maybe as necessary. I've got to install new equipment. I've got to adopt new processes. I've got to learn new procedures. Whatever has to happen so that the adjustments that we have identified, the things we say about our lives, have to change. I've got to do whatever has to happen so that the adjustments I've identified can actually be accomplished. The Bible tells us as much. It is a group of verses that probably every one of you heard before, but as I thought about it for this morning, I thought about how much we kind of spiritualize this verse and make it only about those kinds of things we consider spiritual, in ways that miss how the gospel, the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, touches everything. So I'm going to read you verses you've heard before, verses you already know, but I am inviting you to let these verses fill new areas of your life today. Inviting you to let these verses sort of seep into every moment of your week, to fill the whole trajectory of your own dreams for your life submitted to Christ. They're the words of the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, where he says, "You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but we read, at least I've been guilty of this, read those closing words about, you know, stuff like true righteousness and holiness, and we tie this verse only to those things we might generally consider spiritual. Can I just say to you this morning, everything is spiritual? Again, there's no part of your life the gospel doesn't touch. If there's anything the gospel accomplishes, it is to take what we have divided, what's been separated, what's been incohesive, and bring it all back together into an integrated whole. Your relationship with God was shattered, broken by sin. You were separated from Him. And the point of the gospel was and is to bring wholeness, integrity to that relationship again. Your relationship with your fellow human beings was fractured. It was broken. It was shattered. And the point of the gospel was and is to bring wholeness to those relationships once more. Talking specifically about the division between Jew and Gentile, Paul writes what? That Jesus Himself is our peace, who has made these divided groups one group, and He has destroyed the barrier. He's destroyed the dividing wall of hostility. Even your relationship with yourself, if you'll think about it, you may not know it, but that's been a mess too. We don't live integrated lives. Again, the Apostle Paul said so himself. "I have this desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." And every one of us knows that disparity, that brokenness that marks our lives through and through. But the intent of God, expressed in the person of Jesus Christ and in the promise of the gospel itself, is to bring integrity, it's to bring wholeness, it's to bring consistent completeness to who we are in Him, to eliminate the divisions we create between what we think is spiritual and what is not. I get a little feisty when somebody says to me, "Well, you're a spiritual person. You're a religious person, you know." What? I'm made differently than you? I'm made differently than you. Whatever I am, I don't want to scare you or anything, but whatever I am, we all are. You just don't know it yet. You don't know it yet because you remain dead in your transgressions and sins. But God wants to revive. God wants to make alive again. God wants to resurrect that spiritual part of you that you don't even think exists. And He wants to integrate again the whole of you into an intact, complete person. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 23, the Apostle Paul prays what? "May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." God's concern is for all of you. God's concern is for the whole of you. And so when Paul writes in Ephesians about putting off the old self and putting on the new, it can be as much about taking care of the body. God gave you that body that He will resurrect and glorify and you will occupy for all eternity. About taking better care of the body that God gave you, or better stewarding the resources He's entrusted to you, as it might be